Praise the Lord, Jesus, brothers and sisters. God is real and He's alive. It's a joy to be together and seek the face of the Lord together. It's been a week of many emotions, opposite emotions. God has brought us through different ups and downs in our emotions. But the most wonderful thing that I feel the Lord has done in this week is to show us His glory and the love and unity of the body of Christ. Each of us have been communicating and integrating in a very strong bond. In a way that only God can do. Because we love our God and we love our brother Howard. And God has allowed us to bring love of the love of God a step further. To rejoice with God in this time. A hug and a smile. A look has brought us the unity and the peace because we've seen Jesus in each of you. It's time for us to realize that as a church, we need this love and this strength. Christ in us. The unity and the life. And we need to get united to glorify Him. And realize that His word is true. His word will be fulfilled. And God needs faithful people that will be able to give the step of faith. I just want to encourage you today. With that very, very precious example that the Lord let us have for years here and our brother Howard.
No te limites a expresar.
Don't limit yourself to express.
No te limites a abrazar.
Don't limit yourself to hug.
Nos necesitamos.
We all need one another.
Cristo está en nosotros.
Christ is in us.
Esta es la iglesia que necesita Dios.
This is the church that God needs. God, the world needs a church that is full of love. And the world needs people with heart. And the heart is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is alive. He rules and reigns. And He has all the power. I'm just going to share a quick testimony.
Para animarte a que no te detengas.
To encourage you to not to stop.
En una reunión de mujeres,
in a women's meeting,
habíamos estado orando por una hermana que tenía dos hijos y estaba embarazada.
We've been praying for a lady that had two children and she was pregnant.
Ella estaba en la cárcel.
She was in jail.
Su esposo la metió a la cárcel y la acusó de violencia doméstica.
Her husband put her in jail because he accused her of domestic violence.
Y no sabíamos cuándo saldría.
And we didn't know when she was going to come out.
Martes llegó.
And she arrived on Tuesday morning after the meeting.
Mujeres,
and the class, the women's class.
Yo la vi venir.
I saw her coming.
Y la vi en muy mala posición de corazón.
And her heart was not in the right attitude.
Enojada y muchas cosas.
She was mad and very bad attitude.
Pero yo tenía que compartir la palabra.
And I had to share the word.
Y yo dije, no voy a ver cómo viene ella.
And I'm not going to look at her. I need to see God.
Solo a Cristo.
Only Jesus.
Y con todo ese amor y esa gracia que Dios nos ayuda.
And with all the love and grace that God gives us.
Estuve compartiendo acerca del perdón.
I was sharing about forgiveness.
Y yo veía que ella entraba y salía.
And she was going in and out of the meeting.
Yo en manera natural te puedo decir, yo decía, ni caso me hace.
I was thinking to myself, she's not paying attention at all.
Pero quiero decirte,
but I want to tell you. That when she sat down She began to cry and her face was changing.
Y cuando terminó,
when she finished, when the class finished, she told me,
Dios me habló.
God spoke to me.
Dios te usó.
God used you.
Y cada palabra,
and every word
era lo que yo necesitaba.
Was what I needed.
Dice, perdón si salía tantas veces.
Sorry if, because I was going in and out.
Dice, pero tengo problemas, el embarazo.
I have problems with my pregnancy.
Dice, pero mira, te grabé.
But I recorded you.
Yo le dije, ¿tú grabaste lo que yo dije?
Did you record everything I said?
No, dice, tomé un video.
It was not a recording, it was a video.
Y lo mandé a una, mi familia y a mi esposo.
I sent it to my family and even to my husband.
¿Sabes, hermano? No,
you know, we should never stop. The work is of the Lord.
Hablemos la verdad.
Let's speak the truth.
Hablemos la vida de Cristo.
Let's speak the life of Christ.
El Señor hará todo.
And the Lord will do everything. I'm bringing a big hug for all of you. I love you so much.
Todos han sido mucha bendición.
All of you have been a great blessing for me. And you have taught us many good things in our lives. God bless you. Father, we pray, Lord, that you give us, Lord, understanding of many things that are coming, Lord. Lord, we're entering into new stage, new time for this church, for all of us, Lord. And God, we just want to understand very clearly, Lord, what you are going to take us to, Lord. God, lead us by your Holy Spirit. Give us revelation, understanding of your word, of your will, Lord. And God, that this message will also bring, Lord, hope in our lives. God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I know that my brother Leonard preached about resurrection last Sunday. But I think there is no other subject that is more important for now than talking about resurrection. So I'm going to talk about experiencing resurrection. Resurrection is what we will experience in our physical bodies as they become celestial bodies. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 42 to 44 says, "The body is sown in corruption; it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor; it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness; it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body; it is raised a spiritual body." And 1 Corinthians 15:49 says, "And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." So resurrection, basically, the doctrine is that we will have a new body. This body will die, this body will end, this whole body will be put in the grave, and then, after some time, we will raise. We will be lifted up. We will resurrect. So the doctrine of resurrection is important for us to understand that it specifically is directed to our body. But the source of resurrection is inside of us. We could start experiencing glimpses of resurrection right here on earth. Even though resurrection is something that will happen in fullness when Jesus comes back for his bride and the rapture comes up, we can have some experiences of resurrection right now that will prepare us to meet the Lord in the time when he will come. So the first thing that we need to understand is that resurrection is a position. It's something that we are already placed in. Romans chapter 6, verses 5 to 11, it speaks about our new birth in Christ. It speaks about being baptized in Christ, being baptized in his suffering. And it is defining what happens to us when we come to the Lord for the first time. It says here, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him," he was already dead, "that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no longer dominion over him, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So from the very first day that you become a believer in Christ, there is a resurrection already attached to you, because you have a position with Christ as a resurrected person. Some, for us, time, you know, is hours, days. Today is, 11:20 in the morning. And we need to go through time. But for God, God is not subject to time. For God, he sees everything in one look. He can see the end from the beginning from the end, because in God, everything is already complete. And when we speak about resurrection, we need to understand that from the very first day that we say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you as my personal Savior, together with that, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, that part is already given to us at the very same time. So we can have that position. I have been already resurrected in Christ. I am already resurrected in Christ because he rose. I have to reckon myself, I have to think of myself that if I died with Christ, I'm also going to be risen with Jesus. For God, we have died, we have been buried, and raised up with Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 6 says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. The same concept, right? God has saved us. God has redeemed us. God has raised us. He has resurrected us. And he has already made us to sit together with Christ in heaven. All of these verbs are in the past tense. These already happened. You can rejoice because we are not only sitting in these comfortable chairs here. We are sitting in the heavenly places with Christ already, is what this verse says. So resurrection is a position that puts us together with Christ from the very first day that we receive salvation. So you can say with me, I'm sitting right now with Christ in the heavenly places. Can you say that? Say it then. Hallelujah. From the very first day of our salvation, resurrection is included. God already sees us raised and seated in the heavenly places. One more verse about resurrection as a position that we already have. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth, for you died. You died. I'm speaking to dead people now. You died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The truth of the gospel is so powerful, and when our doctrine is placed in the right way, the foundational doctrine is placed in the right way, we don't have any problem in accepting this reality that we have died. Not only that, if then you were raised with Christ, then we need to start looking or seeking the things in heaven and not the things in earth. When we understand the position of resurrection that we already have in Christ, we will start looking for the things on earth, in heaven, and not for the things on earth. And if people begin to ask you, what are you doing here in this world? Well, I'm just looking to the things of God, for the kingdom of God, to preach the gospel, to pray for the people, to heal the sick, to do whatever the Lord commanded us to do. And they will say, there's no profit in that. There's no profit in maybe on earth, but I'm building my riches in heaven. So resurrection is a position that we already have in Christ. You can be sure there is a resurrection that will happen because you are already there. You have already arrived. We all are seated together with Christ in the heavenly places. Not only that, resurrection is a practice. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, these bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Every time that we come to the cross, by remembering Jesus' sacrifice with our bodies, of course, we are presenting these bodies as a sacrifice. We die to ourselves and we receive new life in Christ. One of the ways to experience resurrection in this life is to come every day to present ourselves with our bodies and remembering that Jesus died for us and remembering that we come to serve him and we need him and that we are here just to fulfill the will of God for us in this life. And as we are doing that, we are dying to ourselves. We present ourselves as a living sacrifice. It's not that we're going to commit suicide, of course. It says living sacrifice, but it involves our bodies. We need to separate time to be with Jesus. We need to separate time from our daily activities. Many people say, oh, brother, I'm so busy, I don't have time. Well, I'm sorry for you. You are missing resurrection. You are not experiencing that. And Romans, the next verse in Romans 12 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Resurrection life is experienced by us being renewed in our minds. Once we have spent time with the Lord, remembering the sacrifice of Christ, honoring him, giving him thanks for everything he has done, we wake up like in a resurrected way, from that place of surrender, from that place of praying, from that place of kneeling down, with a renewed mind. In that process, we experience not only death, but resurrection. We die to ourselves, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. And then we lift up. We are lifted up with a renewed mind to do what? To experience the good, acceptable and perfect will of God. We cannot experience that good, acceptable and perfect will of God if we do not die to ourselves first. Because our will counter the will of God. But as we present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God every day, we will be renewed in our mind. And then in this picture of resurrection, we will experience the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, and we will go forward. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. What does that mean? That he decided every day to spend time with Jesus. There is no other way to understand it. That he wanted to spend time with Jesus. And so Paul had this wonderful experience to die and to experience resurrection every day. God can renew your mind every day if you come and you present yourself before the Lord every day. Number three, resurrection is a principle. It's a position, it's a practice, it's a principle. When God wants to use someone, he sent him to go through this principle of death, burial, and resurrection. Joseph is a very clear example of this. He died when he was sold as slave and served as slave. His burial was when he was falsely accused and ended up in jail. And his resurrection came when he was elevated to the throne. God wanted to use Joseph for a purpose, for a ministry. But Joseph had to go through the process, through the principle of death, burial, and resurrection. And if you think of all of the people that God has used in the Bible, they first have to go through this process of death, burial, and resurrection. Before my wife and I, my family, were able to travel and to experience a new era in our ministry, we had to go through this process. We came from Mexico where we had a full life. We had a house, car, family, Mexican food, of course. We keep talking about food, right? I don't know, I'm getting hungry. And we didn't need to move, but God wanted us to move. So we arrived to Waco, Texas, a very small town. No friends, no family, no Mexican food. No house, well, a little house to live, but with many difficulties there. No place to go to preach. The church in Waco already had a pastor and he was preaching. No ministry. The only thing we could do is just spend time with Brother Robert. And our ministry died, literally died, when we moved from Mexico to the U.S. We spent some time being buried, not known by anybody, until later we began to experience a resurrection. And a new group, a new church began to be born in Dallas. That's where we are pastoring now. And I began to travel with Brother Robert to different places, went back to Mexico and visited other places with him. And then we are experiencing the resurrection of our ministry. And if you want to be used by God, if you feel you have the call of God upon your life, I'm not going to scare you, but a principle of death, burial, and resurrection is necessary. I think everybody that has a ministry can tell you a testimony where they have gone through this process and they have understood that it was necessary for them not to take the glory for themselves, but to give all the glory, all the honor to Jesus. John 12, 23 to 25 talks about this principle of resurrection. But Jesus answered them saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man shall be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." So we, as God's servants, cannot bear fruit if we don't experience this principle first. This is what brings meaning to life. You want to bear fruit for the glory of God? You may say amen. Well, maybe that you are understanding the message and you don't want to say amen, right? Because you don't want to go through the process of death, burial, and resurrection. But let me tell you, it's wonderful at the end. Many people focus on the dying part and be buried, but I will tell you, their experience in resurrection is so powerful. It gives you new anointing, it gives you new faith, it gives you new revelation, new understanding of the Word of God. And let me tell you, it's going to be a process, it's going to be a principle where you are going to suffer. But at the end, the fruit for the glory of God will be great and wonderful. If the grain of wheat doesn't fall into the ground and dies, it remains alone. You feel alone. The solution is to die. But to die for Jesus, right? to die to serve him. To say the Lord, to the Lord, I don't want to do my own will. I want to do your will. And God will do it, and he will bring you back to life in the resurrection life that he has for you. Resurrection is also a covenant. Hebrews 13:20 says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. How did God brought Jesus from the dead? By the blood of the covenant. When Jesus died, he shed all his blood. And by the Spirit of Christ, Hebrews talks about this, the Spirit of Christ took all the blood of Jesus and brought it as a present to God, as an offering to God in the heavenly places. To show the Father, this is the blood of the sacrifice. This is the blood of the covenant. I have fulfilled everything that was needed because blood was necessary for the forgiveness of our sins. Blood was necessary for us to be redeemed. Blood was necessary for us to have a new life, to be saved, to be forgiven from anything, for everything that we are entering to the new kingdom of God. Blood was necessary. So the Spirit of Christ, when his body was in the grave and his soul was suffering for us in hell, the Spirit of Christ, because he was spirit, soul, and body as well, you know, took the blood of Jesus, and presented it in the most holy place, not in earth, but in heaven. So the blood of Jesus did not remain on earth. There are some people that think that they found the blood of Jesus. No, no, no. It is in heaven. It's warm in heaven. It's presented before the Father. And it is interceding for all of us. And that's the blood of the covenant. Why Jesus came back to life? According to this verse, it says that Jesus came to life because of the blood of the covenant. When the 3 days went by, and the time of Jesus' resurrection arrived, God was able to bring his son back to life because there was a blood of the covenant that was the testimony that Jesus had overcome death, sin, the law, the curse, everything. That's the reason why Jesus was raised from the dead. And that's the same thing that we can have as an assurance for us to go to heaven. The blood of the covenant is the guarantee that we will rise again. The blood of the covenant is there in heaven. Sin brings death, but the blood brings forgiveness and assurance that we are well accepted by the Father. When you ask the Lord to forgive you, when you confess your sins and tell God, God, forgive me, do you believe he forgives you? Why? Because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all iniquity. And the blood of Jesus is there at the side of the Father as a testimony, as a guarantee that all of our sins are forgiven and that we will rise again. Praise the Lord. John 6:54 says, whoever eats my flesh, these are words of Jesus, and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is a guarantee, it's for sure. Jesus said it himself, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, I will raise him up. It's a covenant. This speaks about the Holy Communion, the remembrance of his covenant with us. It is here where we come into the account when we have Holy Communion with the Lord for the forgiveness of sins and to be assured of our future resurrection. When Jesus instituted the Holy Communion, he said, I will not drink of this cup anymore until I drink it again with all of you, with my Father in heaven. So there is a covenant that Jesus made with us. And you will rise again. You will be resurrected because it is a covenant that Jesus made with us. Resurrection is also a power by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. And as we have the Holy Spirit, we have the power to resurrect. The more we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the more we will be aware of the power that will rise us up. Hallelujah. Resurrection is a great miracle. It is so incredible that when Paul was speaking of the resurrection, many thought that he was out of his mind. You can read this in Acts chapter 17, 32. But when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we enter into the realm of the supernatural. People may think, how come dust, particles of people that believe in the Lord 2,000 years ago, and maybe their particles are floating in the universe? Maybe those particles of that person were eaten by worms, and they are in the stomach of the worm. How are they going to be back and live again? How are they going to raise again? How are they going to have another body? Well, the power of the Holy Spirit. When God was creating everything, all the creation, the light, the sun, the moon, the stars, he says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the emptiness. And when God said, let there be light, the Holy Spirit took that word and made it happen. And when God would say, because the Bible says that one day some will hear the voice and will come back to life, God will save, well, God will speak and say, my children, come back to life. The power of the Holy Spirit will take us and will give us a new body. The same Spirit that brought Jesus out of the dead will bring us back to life and give us a new body. It's a great miracle. You know, it's a miracle that someone just dies and comes back to life, but he will die again. But we, when we resurrect with Christ, we will never ever die again. Hallelujah. Resurrection is also a person. John 11:25 says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Some would die, but they will live. But you know what? Some will not die because we'll have the privilege of being caught up in heaven and our bodies will be transformed. Our bodies will be changed. This body cannot get to heaven. So don't worry about your countenance or your face or your whatever you have in this world. This body is not going to get to heaven. We have a very beautiful body prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ that will bear the glory of Christ. And it's going to be so awesome because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection is a person. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. So when we believe in him, we already have the resurrection inside. Jesus comes and enters into your heart, enters into your spirit, and dwells in it forever. So when you have the person of Jesus Christ dwelling in you, you have the resurrection in your heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good. He's amazing. Hallelujah. Paul said in Philippians 3, 10 and 11, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. The more we know Jesus, the more we will be ready to suffer for him. In the natural, we don't like to suffer. That's very normal. But when you know Jesus, something begins to change in you. And you begin to think, I don't care if I suffer. And if I suffer for Jesus, and if I die, that's going to be better. That's going to be wonderful. I'm not trying to get hold of my life, my dear life in this world. But as Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. This couple from Iran just touched my heart. Knowing Howard, he was also willing, you know, to go and many places. And he was not, you know, doubting that he was suffering for Christ. But the more we are in this thought, the more we know Jesus as a person, we will love to have fellowship with the sufferings of Christ. And that's the only way to really get closer to Jesus. To be willing to suffer for him. And the last one, resurrection is a presence. 1 Corinthians 15, 52 through 55 says, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Those who didn't die, or those of us we would die, we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The last victory of Christ is in our resurrection. When we are resurrected and this mortal is changed into immortality and these weak vessels are changed into glorious vessels, then the word will be fulfilled. O death, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? It doesn't hurt. I will not die. I will live forever in Christ. And someday, not only my soul and my spirit will be in the presence of God, my body will be there too. That will be happening when we all get to the presence of God. 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 17 says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Howard and all the saints that have preceded us to go to heaven will wait for us until the time of the resurrection so that we all experience resurrection together. Howard is no doubt in the presence of God, in his spirit and his soul. But he will also receive a glorious body. And he cannot get that until we all either die in the Lord or are caught up in heaven in the time when Jesus will come to pick up his glorious bride, his overcomers, to go to heaven with him. And then we will see Howard there coming up all together with us to the presence of the Lord, because resurrection is a presence. He certainly is enjoying the Lord Jesus Christ in his soul and his spirit, but he's also longing for his body, a glorious body. And we all are going to rise and be with him in heaven, enjoying the presence of God in the spirit, soul, and body, all together, dancing all through the universe, jumping from star to star, glorifying God, laying our crowns in the throne of God, and really rejoicing for eternity with a glorious body of resurrection. So resurrection is a victory. And we should go forward from now on looking to Jesus, seeking Jesus, because difficult times are coming. But God will give us resurrection. Difficult times may come, but God will give us victory in every way. So let's say all together to the Lord, victory is of the Lord.